I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
If Mac Jones, wins the Rookie of the Year, which you might remember, your boy kind of told you, "Hey, come on board with me, guys. I got a bad number to local shop." If Mac Jones wins the MVP, or sorry, Rookie of the Year, all this 3 week nonsense is
forgotten,
is dust in the wind.
Yeah.
Because that's worth maximum units, trust me.
Oh yeah,
going to Bermuda.
Units.
If Mac Jones wins the Roy, we're getting a Toyota.
That's of all the cars you can choose, Rusty. Let's get a Camry. That'll be great. It's affordable. The gas mileage is fantastic. Japanese cars are well built. Screw everything else. Let's get a Toyota.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fat stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag. West Coast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crooks, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network and the only gambling show that makes you money. You can find us on Twitter at West Coast Gams, and you can also find us on YouTube under the Gaming Society's YouTube channel with Mike Vick episodes and Bet on Women Roundtable. And our dumb faces somewhere in between there. It's a lot of fun on that channel. But today, it's all about recapping what happened last weekend and taking a little look into the future. We're going to preview some games that are coming on Sunday. The bets for those games are coming on our traditional Thursday episode. But we did want to kind of have a little popcorn rating for these games because a lot of them have playoff implications. We're in November. The playoff picture's out there. You're seeing the in-the-hunt graphics. And a lot of games coming up have some big-time playoff implications. And we're going to kind of dive through those to see where we're feeling before we make a bet on them. But before we get there, before we get to Dr. Dangles telling us how to escape our gambling woes, before we get to Gravestones, where each of the hosts gets to kill a team this week, I have a little gift I want to give my two co-hosts. But before we get there, Drew, I just want to say,
yes,
you're 3-18 over the past 3 weeks betting on this show.
Is that true?
That is true.
Oh, wow. I knew I was 1-4 three straight weeks. I was aware of this fact. It's funny because it doesn't really translate to my Circa. My Circa contest, I'm exactly 500 the last 3 weeks. But I will say, not a good 3 weeks for the Sharp. this week I was surprised. I'll admit the Browns game threw me off. Thought that was going to be a low scoring, close game. That was incorrect. The Bucks game, I kind of knew come Sunday that I was going to be on the right side of that one at all.
No.
So I laid off that one. But listen, I think this is a good thing to hang on the Sharp because you'll never catch me at a lower point. So it's only going up from here. I can promise you that. So we'll see where I am at the end of the year. But yeah, hey, bad 3 weeks.
Well,
what do?
And what good movie doesn't have a point at which our fearless hero is down for a little while and has that moment of like, oh man, I gotta get my shit together and pull this together. I've been going through a struggle like that myself over the last couple of weeks. But I know the Sharp has it in him. We call you Schaefer the Sharp for a reason. We're going to turn it around down this last stretch of the season. We got to get in that same playoff mindset here on the West Coast Gamblers. This is the last 8 weeks of the season. Now, officially, those playoff pictures, like you said, Tony, are coming into shape. We're seeing the in-the-hunt graphics. We're talking about the importance of these next 7-8 games for these teams down the stretch. We got to get in that same playoff mentality, put our you know, noses to the grindstone and keep on betting. It'll turn around. Like you said, Schaefer the Sharp, only up from here.
I'm going to need a big grindstone for this nose. But Dangles, that pump-up speech, that pump-up speech is deserved coming from you, my friend. You were struggling early, and you are the winning gambler from last week. You went 3-2 on King of the Coast.
Hey.
You scored the most points in the King of the Coast contest. How are you feeling, my friend?
Good week for the Dangles. Good week for the Patriots. I feel good about it. We're going into another fun slate of games. I'm excited to talk about some of these really good matchups with heavy playoff implications. And I'm feeling confident. I feel like I'm getting my feet under me, kind of like the Patriots and Mac Jones. You know what I mean? I sit here as a Patriots fan feeling pretty good compared to some of these other teams that drafted quarterbacks in the first round. And some of their fans are probably still going, we don't really know what this person's going to do just yet. But here's Mac being pretty consistent, just getting better and better in every week, and I'm trying to do the same thing here out here on WCG. We've been down before. We're going to get back.
Oh, by the way, Dangs, let me interject, Tony, since you so lovely brought my 3-18 where the fuck I am the last few weeks. If Mac Jones wins the Rookie of the Year, which you might remember, your boy kind of told you, hey, come on board with me, guys. I got a bad number to local shop. If Mac Jones wins the MVP, or sorry, Rookie of the Year, all this 3 week nonsense is
forgotten,
is dust in the wind.
Yeah.
Because that's worth maximum units. Trust me.
Oh yeah.
Going to Bermuda.
Units.
If Mac Jones wins the Roy, we're getting a Toyota.
That's of all the cars you could choose for us. Let's get a Camry. That'll
be
great.
Corolla,
it's affordable. The gas mileage is fantastic. Japanese cars are well built. Screw everything else. Let's get a Toyota.
I'm happy you brought up Mac Jones, and I'm happy, Dangles, you brought up your Patriots, because I want to present unto you my two lovely co-hosts. Drew, you just talked about how we went in on a future at the beginning of the season. The three of us agreed on it, and we put money down, and we're in line to win money if Mac Jones wins that award. I would like to present a bet unto you two that we should go in on, again, another future, a little mid-season future that we can take, because Tony Squares has been prognosticating. And I think there's a line out there, there's a number out there that is also a bad number. And it has to do with those New England Patriots. Listen, we love the Patriots. We took their over at the beginning of the season. We love Mac Jones. We love the way this team is built. Their defense has come to play. That offensive line, now healthy, is protecting Mac. He's hitting balls everywhere on the field. And then doesn't matter what running back is behind that O-line, they're converting big rushes behind that offensive line. So, went looking on our friend DraftKings. And it turns out that the New England Patriots, to win their division, is plus 300. Now, it's even bigger in other places, but we're going to talk about DraftKings because they're a good friend of ours, monetarily at least. And boys, I believe we should put money down on the New England Patriots to win the division. They have one game in hand against the Buffalo Bills. They haven't hit their bye yet. New England has a later bye in the season, but they're only a half game back in the standings. And they play Buffalo twice still, home and home, in this division. Buffalo this week has a pretty difficult game against Indy. New England, hopefully a cakewalk this Thursday against Atlanta. If things play out the way they should, where New England gets a win on Thursday, and maybe Buffalo, maybe Carson Wentz and that defense pulls one out against Buffalo, they've dropped the ball before, that number will only get worse. So, unto you guys, what are your early thoughts here on us taking New England to win the AFC East?
I would be more apt to be into that if it wasn't your pure bias and disdain for the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, to be honest with you. So I'm out. But Dangles, what do you think?
I mean, I'm trying to push the Homer bias out here. Of course I want the Patriots to win the division. But no, but seriously, let's look at this, because it's not completely out of the question. You mentioned the Falcons game. That should be a cakewalk. After that, it's home at the Titans, then at the Bills, at the Colts, against the Bills, and the last two games of the season at home against the Jaguars, and then in Miami against the Dolphins, a spot that has traditionally troubled us, at least in the Brady years. We'll see what happens if that trend changes this year. But I mean, you think about that, those last two games should be wins. You get one, you get at least one against the Colts. That's 10, potentially 11 wins in there. This Bills team, look, I think if we're going to, the Bills are very good, but they can be beat by bad teams. We've seen this. They can be beat by teams with bad defense and if they get caught on an off day, you know, they might rack up a couple of tough losses. Their remaining schedule features the Colts,
Saints.
I know
worry.
You got it. The Pats, the Bucks, the Panthers, the Pats again, the Falcons, and the Jets. Those are all winnable games for the Bills. But I, the way the Patriots are surging right now, they seem to have found their stride. I don't hate that at plus 300. I could be convinced to throw a little bit of money on that. It's an uphill battle. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's a cakewalk for them. That's not the case at all. Because Buffalo is a very good team, and they're still, I think, the leading a team in terms of percentage to make the Super Bowl.
Well, I was going to say the only thing better than maybe betting the Patriots 10 weeks in is maybe having a ticket, an exacta box on the AFC East, the Bills, Patriots, that shave of the sharp. Back when you could pick games. Or handicap has. For me, this is like taking a pile of money, reaching into that pile of money, and then maybe like investing it into like an app, maybe your friend.
I think that's called diversification.
This new crypto, hey, that you gotta get this coin. I'll probably just count my cash,
I'll
encourage you.
You said that the Buffalo Bills are one of my least favorite teams, and I do have a bias against them, but everyone should be able to admit that this Buffalo team has come down from the year that they had the year prior. Josh Allen has come back down to earth. Stephon Diggs, that whole offense passing-wise, has come back down to earth. They still cannot run the ball. And when you're playing teams like Indianapolis, Carolina, and Tampa Bay, if you can get 0 yards a carry, how else are you going to beat them? Granted, Tampa Bay was beaten by the puppies in Washington last week, but Buffalo's going to have a struggling side to finish this off. And then those two games against New England. Gentlemen, if New England can pull out even one of those games, yeah. I think they can really catch the Buffalo Bills. With that late bye, Buffalo has to play every week from here on out. Buffalo does have 5 games at home, but those 3 games on the road, New England, Tampa Bay, and New Orleans, none of those, even with Trevor Siemian, are against an easy defense that's easy to beat. You have to bring your A game for all of those. Patriots, on the other hand, have 4 games on the road, but they're 4-0 on the road as we speak. Atlanta this Thursday, notwithstanding. I'm just saying, I think the odds should be a little bit closer to even, maybe New England plus 200, plus 150 to win the AFC East, because with 2 games yet to play between both of these teams and only a half a game separating them right now, I just think this is a bad line. That's all I'm saying. I think I'm going to take it. Dangles, you're more than welcome to join me. And if we can't get the sharp, I'm just going to point to his recent activity at 3-18, and that's going to be the reason why. He's not seeing the light.
Hey, I mean, I can't argue the value there. And again, if I didn't have the down payment on, the Tesla with that futures ticket, then maybe I might join you. But, go get your car, Tony.
You can't be that wrong putting your faith in Bill Belichick, right? You can't be that wrong. If anything, we've learned over the last 20 years.
Watch them get destroyed versus Atlanta on Thursday. But we'll talk about that game on our next episode. Now it's time to go to the good doctor. Drew has been struggling. Tony has some feelings, too, and it's time to talk about them in an open forum with Dr. Dangles. And that's coming up next.
West Coast Gamblers.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Coming up in just a little while, we're going to give you some popcorn ratings on some games with big playoff implications. As we said, we are now into the second half of the season. Picture starting to form, and we're going to be talking for the rest of the year on the West Coast Gamblers, at least up until the postseason, about who is where, who's vying for what position, and boy, there's a lot to talk about in that realm. But first, we've got some issues to dig into. We've got some feelings to feel. We've got some wrinkles to iron out. It sounds like, Tony, you opened the show discussing Schaefer the Sharp's been having a rough couple of weeks the last few weeks, and we want to build our co-hosts up. We want to give them the confidence to get off the schnoz, as Schaefer the Sharp enjoys saying, and get back into that winning mentality that the West Coast Gamblers is known for as the only gambling show that makes you money. So, with that said, it's time to get real. It's time to feel our feelings. Let's get a little raw. Let's open up. It is time for this week's edition of Dr. Dangles. Well, Tony Squares, Schaefer the Sharp, I have to say I'm grateful that we've returned to our usual format here after last week when we sort of got a little bit, I'm trying to figure out the right word here, unorthodox maybe, in our methods to try and get better. But Schaefer the Sharp, let me start with you because your wonderful friend and our co-host Tony Squares is trying to play a shot game apparently with our listeners for how many times he can mention your record over the last 3 weeks in the first 20 minutes of the podcast. So let's start with you. There it is. There's another one. Everybody take a shot. So Schaefer the Sharp, let's talk about it. Why do you think you're 3-18 over the last 3 weeks?
I just am seeing inside out, outside in, upside down, kitty wampus, counterclockwise. I feel like I'm seeing it fine, doctor. And then I see things like, for example, maybe I was peer pressured into not taking the Lions on Sunday, which I knew they were the right side. I actually took my own personal portfolio, but maybe I'm just getting bullied by a co-host, maybe saying like, if I take them, I'll get ridiculed. Maybe I actually, Schaefer the Sharp's kind of tough, thick-skinned guy and doesn't give an F usually what people think, but maybe I do care what somebody thinks because I want to take the Lions. I have them in my own personal portfolio on Sunday, and they tied. The San Francisco 49ers, all the reverse line movement, like, I could have bet you, if we were betting Buffalo Nickels, I would have bet a million Buffalo Nickels that San Francisco would cover. I didn't bet anything on it because I'm scared and I don't have a lot of confidence right now. So I guess, doctor, listen, I'm not going to beat myself up too bad. A couple bad weeks, as Tony says, 3-18. But I just need literally some confidence, doctor. Just help me get my confidence back. Help me get my swagger back. Help me not care what other people think. Lord, help me control what I can't. I don't know that phrase, but help me. Help me.
Yeah. No, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, right? And I mean, I think that is a good point, and I agree. I think self-confidence is the name of this week's remedy and my sort of penance to give to you is to do some self-hype and some self-care. We call you Schaefer the Sharp. We don't call him Tony the Sharp. We call you Schaefer the Sharp. You are our sharp on the show because you have that knowledge, that wealth of gambling knowledge, those years of experience, the keen eye to pick out the lines. You know you can do it. You have that. It's just, sometimes we get down. Sometimes we get down, and character is built not in the ways that we fall, but in the ways that we pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off. And I know it's easier to be said than done, but stop being scared. You know this shit, dude. Get at it. Get after it, and you will rise from the ashes like the beautiful phoenix that you are.
Nothing.
It seems simple, right? But there's no technical advice for. I mean, I don't want to say it out loud, because it can be, there's some superstition around it. But this sounds to me like a case of the yips. Sounds like you're just in a slump at the plate. You're just not seeing the pitch. It's just an 0-0 for slump. And every hitter, every player breaks out of those slumps, and you will too. I think this week you just bring a little bit of that extra self-confidence. You know where to find the good numbers. You know where to find the sharp inside information, and that should carry you to a winning week this week. So I'd encourage you to think on that as we're making our bets for this week. Tony Squares, we're short on time, but want to make sure we get your concerns recorded as well.
Well, no, I'm just happy that the Sharp is getting good insight from a man who literally lost his shirt gambling last week. but I will just say that...
That was my counterpart. I don't know anything about that. That was regular Dangles.
Our unorthodox methods last week, the sacrifices that we made, I mean... I took an
that
under.
That shit didn't work. Referendum on organized religion, for sure.
I took an under. Speaking of didn't work, Dangles, I took an under on Sunday's games, under 44.5. And lo and behold, a team drove down the field to try and tie a game to make the score 23-21. That'd be 44 points. And then went for two. Lo and behold, they did not get that two-point conversion, and I won that under by a half a point. I swear to you, if we had not made those sacrifices, that game was going into overtime, and I was suffering another loss. So you may, you know, turn your nose on the unorthodox methods, but I feel like they worked for me. Very happy in my spot.
I guess that's a plus. I've never heard of anyone sacrificing anything before that has actually worked. So maybe we've created a first here on the West Coast Gamblers. But I suppose that's all the time that we have for Dr. Dangles this week. Up next, we'll take a look at some of the games that are on this week's slate in the NFL in Week 11 with big playoff implications as the picture of who will be in the postseason and who won't takes clearer shape. It's coming up next.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Thank you, good doctor. It is time now to talk about some games this weekend that are doozies. It's that time of the NFL season where these good teams or these medium-level teams start meeting up head-on, and we get to see who's for real and who isn't. Not going to be making any bets right now, but we're just going to sort of prognosticate and say what we feel about these teams heading into the game, what we could think could happen, and some of the implications if it doesn't go their way. The first one is a pretty easy one, and if you listen to the Bill Simmons podcast, he called this a loser leaves town game, and I don't know if it's that extreme, but it definitely is a big game. The Cincinnati Bengals are 5-4. They're currently tied for the seventh spot in the AFC, the final playoff spot in the AFC. Cincinnati 5-4, heading to the Las Vegas Raiders, also 5-4. Man, Dangles, where do you think Cincy, Las Vegas, both coming off of losses, Cincinnati coming off of a bye here, but they lost the game before it. They're just not, both these teams, they were great early. They've come back to earth. One of them has to win this Sunday. One of them loses. They could be 500 and looking at a long road to the finish here. What do you feel for these two teams?
It's going to be a good one for sure. I mean, as you mentioned the Bengals coming off the bye. They lost their last two before that, including that tough loss to the Jets. So that bye could not have come at a better time for Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow, and those Cincinnati Bengals to get their heads right and get back in here. A game against a Raiders team coming off a 41-14 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. And, I mean, that was, you know, I really went into that game with a lot of confidence in the Raiders. That was a spot where they really needed to win. And they came up short. And they're still 5-4 and technically in the conversation. They have the same record as the LA Chargers, who are ahead of them in their division. But the thing that concerns me about the Raiders, if we're talking this in a larger perspective in terms of playoff implications, is they have a really tough schedule down the last stretch of the season here. Dallas, KC, Cleveland, the Chargers, the Colts, all still on the docket for the Las Vegas Raiders, a team that's been through tons of ups and downs this year and has been, you know, after going 3-0, they're now just what, 2-4, I believe. That's good math. That's why I'm a journalist and not a doctor. I lean Bengals in this game coming off of two losses to get right here against the Las Vegas Raiders team. This game is at home for the Raiders, so obviously they get a little bit of an advantage there. But I don't know. I lean Bengals here. I've kind of been hot on the Bengals this year, and I've been proven wrong a couple of times. But I am excited. I am excited for this one. What about you, Shea, for the Sharp?
I already knew where that game was going Sunday before it kicked off, the way my weekend was going. And you know, go figure, when Mahomes doesn't do trick shots and behind the back fucking no look passes, he's a pretty damn good quarterback. When he gets the ball to his playmakers, that, you know, and they can get some yak, the Chiefs look pretty good. I still like this Raiders team. The Bengals team, I'm not so sure about. I do agree with you, Tony, what Simmons said. I absolutely believe this is a loser leaves town game, because the loser of this game obviously will have two straight losses, and that'll bring the record to obviously 5-5, and I think it's going to be an uphill battle for him. So I don't really know where I'm going to look for this game for a wager. I haven't dove too much into it. I think this game, of any game on the weekend, will probably be one of the most intense, highly contested fight for every inch game, because I do think it's of that importance.
I'm right there with you. This is a pull out all the stops game. And I think, I mean, you talked about how you knew how the Sunday game was going because of your Sunday day went. I mean, I had that game picked out from the beginning. I thought Kansas City was going to come in and mop the floor with this Raiders team because that Henry Ruggs loss was huge to them. You saw their offense. There is no reason the safeties need to drop back against Vegas anymore. There is no one on that team that can beat them over the top. They threw one ball to DeSean Jackson. That's their only hope, is to get DeSean Jackson to produce as much as Henry Ruggs did and open up the middle of the field for Darren Waller, who has just been, he's disappeared over the last few weeks. And that's a guy that can't disappear for this team to do well. I really like Cincinnati coming into this game. I think they have a lot of question marks. But then again, this is a team that won, what, two, three games last year? Like, this is not a good team to begin with. But the quest for seven is still on. I still think they can come in and win this game. They need to if they want to keep it in the playoff hunt. I might think that neither of these two teams are playoff teams. And that just might be where I stand. Out of the whole AFC, do you think either of these two teams deserve a spot in the playoffs after all this?
I think it's a good prop bet. Will one of those teams make the playoffs starting week 11? I think it's a great prop bet. I would say that bet's probably about minus 110. I would think that's a coin flip that one of these two teams will be in the playoffs.
I don't think it's out of the question necessarily. I would probably lean more towards the Bengals. I think they're a slightly more complete team and they have better weapons on offense than the Raiders do. I can see Cincinnati has proven they can hang 40 plus in a game before this year. I don't know off the top of my head if the Raiders have put 40 points on the board in any game so far this year.
Both of these teams right now, Drew, you said it was a coin flip. Both of these teams right now have a 54% chance of missing the playoffs. So definitely a coin flip. Let's move on to another game, though. This game is the biggest game of the week when it comes to record versus record. It's the Dallas Cowboys at your AFC West leading Kansas City Chiefs. Listen, we talked about all year there's something wrong with Kansas City. There's something wrong with Kansas City. They seem to have figured it out against Las Vegas. And after all that turmoil, they sit on top of their division once again. They were plus money to win their division a few weeks back. Plus money. I told you about New England being plus 300. Kansas City was plus two something to win their division a few weeks back. First time they've been plus money since Pat Mahomes has touched a football for those Kansas City Chiefs. We were dumb not to take it. I saw this coming, that they would come back. I did not see the rest of the division falling apart as they have. But this game right here is big. Dallas did business against Atlanta. Their division is pretty much wrapped up, but they're not looking at the division right now. They're looking at that one seed. They're looking at stealing that bye, giving Dak and that team some rest. They're losing defensive players left and right still. They need to make it to the playoffs, hopefully with a bye, if they want a chance to run to the Super Bowl. If they beat this Kansas City team, Kansas City is right back in the thick of that AFC West division. I think this is a huge week for Kansas City. They have a chance to make put ground between the rest of their division and themselves, give them a bit of a cushion. I cannot wait to watch this game. Dangles, how do you feel about Dallas at Kansas City?
Yeah, this is going to be a true test for the Cowboys being on the road here. And of course, you know, going to Arrowhead is not like just any regular old road game. There's a different atmosphere. We all know about that. Cowboys have played at home in five of their last seven games, and they're 4-1. In that stretch at home. And the Chiefs' defense on the other side has been improving, if only slightly. They've only allowed 38 points in the last three games. Now, yes, the competition wasn't great. They played the Giants, the Packers without Aaron Rodgers, and one more team, the name of which is escaping me right now.
The team we just talked about, the Las Vegas Raiders.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
We're not all on our A game today, Dave.
That's right, and that's okay. I got my COVID booster yesterday, so I'm a little bit out of it. But I was noticing as I'm watching this, because I went back and rewatched this Chiefs game, and the Kansas City Chiefs aren't a team that I usually think of that's very good at pass rushing. And I noticed they were doing a little bit more getting to the quarterback. So I went. They sacked Derek Carr twice and hit him five times. Over the last three games, though, they've got six sacks, and compare that to eight for the rest of the year before that. So slight improvement on that front defensive line getting pressure as well. I think the question here is going to be, can Patrick Mahomes limit turnovers against a Dallas defense that's good at forcing them? They're tied for sixth in best turnover differential in the league and fifth in most turnovers. And for the Chiefs, you know, I think it's going to be about a lot of the ways about trying to reestablish that run game. They should have Clyde Edwards-Helaire back for the first time since week five, which is a huge bonus for them if they can establish a true run game, keep the Dallas defense honest, and let Mahomes be a little bit more expansive and not just have to rely on him to make every play every time. Either way, I am stoked to plant my ass on the couch and watch this game.
Drew, you hate the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you feel about this game?
Well, Tony, I don't hate the Kansas City Chiefs. I correctly diagnosed there's something wrong with them for 4 weeks, and then I incorrectly diagnosed that they would lose the Raiders. And I find it also funny that you base your future ticket on the AFC East, the fact that the Buffalo Bills can't run the football when the Kansas City Chiefs don't even attempt to run the football. And no, you're not going to convince me that a Mr. Darrell Williams is going to be a bell cow for them. But listen, impressive victory against the Raiders. This Cowboys team's good. This is a great game. Now, I don't think that one outstanding performance by the Chiefs is chicken soup for their season.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it because I just got crushed on Sunday night. I think this Cowboys team is a better team pound for pound. But what I failed to recognize on Sunday, which has been a stalwart in the Chiefs' dynamic since Alex Smith was there, and I've referenced this during the interview that Andy Reid didn't look healthy. Andy Reid's a great football coach. He's a great football coach. Mike McCarthy is not a good football coach. And so any edge that I would give
the Cowboys, they have the same amount of Super Bowls.
Exactly. Any edge that I give the Cowboys on the field, because I do think the Cowboys are a better team. It just comes back with the coaching mismatch, and also I'd be very curious. The Chiefs, they get a bye after this game.
Yeah,
do they come out with their hair on fire? Really, like you said, Tony, entrench themselves on top of the division to take that deep breath to go for their final playoff push, or are they a little flat? I don't know, but it's gonna be a hell of a game.
7-4 heading into the bye tastes a lot better than 6-5. Let me tell you, I do want to say Andy Reid versus Mike McCarthy. I mean, I might get in trouble for saying this, but do you think that's the heaviest coaching matchup in the NFL? Has to be, right?
I would think. Yeah,
that'd be a hell of a WWE tag team. Andy Reid, Mike McCarthy. I have to say,
I love it.
Put some face paint on them, maybe some leotards. That'd be something.
Is Bob Wiley on that staff too? Because that just pushes everything over the edge.
Yeah.
So let's move on now. Did you guys know that? I know another one of Drew's favorite teams. Did you guys? I'm gonna let you guess. Dangles, you might have already written this down, but Drew might not know. Drew, do you know who the eighth team in the NFC is right now? One spot out of the NFC playoffs. Do you know who that team is?
I don't.
The Minnesota Vikings. Somehow,
that makes sense. Okay.
Some way, at 4-5, they have won enough tiebreakers and won just enough games to be 4-5 in the eighth spot in the NFC. They're playing the one seed, my Green Bay Packers, who are 8-2. Now, they shut out Seattle. They held Kansas City to 13 points. They shut up Kyler Murray for most of their game against the Cardinals. That defense is playing really, really well. But again, this offense in Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, when they're on, they can score on anybody. And then on the other side, the offense for Green Bay has not played up to par all season long. It wasn't just last week either. They have not played up to par. DVOA has them below the median line, the Mendoza line in the NFL in every aspect. No Aaron Jones for this game, although I do love my guy A.J. Dillon. Offensive line finally getting healthy, but David Bakhtiari still undecided whether he plays this game. Minnesota always gives Green Bay trouble. Green Bay is the one seed right now, but they're coasting. They have a 17-game lead on their division. Minnesota is the second-place team in that division. Minnesota needs this victory in that crazy stadium that gets very loud. The horn will be blowing, skull chants going all over the place. Drew, are you getting a little bit of purple fever right now?
No, I'm not. as you know, I do have a futures ticket on Packers division wins. So I'm already going to have skin in the game and be invested in this game. Might be one of those games, potato game for me, where I kind of stay on the sidelines. Mm. I mean, the Vikings are just, you know, again, once again, I should talk about it in Dr. Dangers. Was there any doubt that the Vikings were going to go into LA and cover and probably win? They did.
That was my worst bet. Just, yeah, that was hands down my worst bet.
You know what got me off that bet is a respected guy that I love. He made the Chargers his best bet, squares. I was actually gonna try to sack up and take the Vikings there, but a respected guy that I love and admire took the Chargers as his best bet, got me off him. But that Vikings team is just so hard to predict. Now, squares, I gotta give you credit here though. That Packers defense, I mean, fantastic.
They're really playing awesome.
They're playing awesome.
Without Jair, too. That's big.
And Zadarius.
Yeah. Yeah. So that brings a different dynamic to this Packers team, especially with the cold weather of the playoffs. Obviously, I'd like to see a healthy Aaron Jones. I know Dylan's been more than adequate there. This game makes me nervous for the Packers. Absolutely. The Vikings definitely want to get the momentum, you know, and again, Zimmer. He's just, you know, he's going to finish 9-8. They're going to have a chance to be in the playoffs week 17. So it's this game they win, or it's one of the many games they lose in the final minutes. Time will tell.
What scares me is Green Bay's next game on the slate, and that's the LA Rams, who, again, had an awful loss against San Fran, but still are very much at the top of that NFC when it comes to record-wise. And I know Green Bay is a well-coached team. They're not going to be looking ahead, so to speak. It's a divisional game. It's tough to overlook a divisional opponent. But it goes Minnesota, LA, and then a week off for Green Bay. I think they might be looking ahead a little bit. I'm a little bit worried as a Packer fan in this game. I don't have any purple fever, though, I'll tell you that. I think Minnesota stinks, but I could be surprised. Dangles, how are you feeling about this game?
I mean, Minnesota, just they can't close. If you look at their games this year, these are a litany of very, very close games. You know, they lost the Cardinals by one, the Bengals by three, they beat the Lions by two, beat the Panthers by six, lost the Cowboys by four, lost the Ravens by three. These are games they're getting, you know, getting close in. A couple of them they win, but you got to win those games when you're in it at the end. You got to be able to, and I just don't know if the Vikings are built to do that. And between them and a defense that could be good one week and bad another, I just don't know. They still have to play the Rams themselves. They've got two games, including this week's against the Packers, the Niners, and the Steelers, and then the Bears twice. And the Lions in there as well, which should be a win for them. I just don't have enough confidence in this Vikings team to take it down the stretch. I certainly do in your Packers, though, Tony. They've given me no reason to think otherwise, although I will say they're going to need to do a lot better on offense than they did this past week. That 17-0 score did not tell the story of just how inept that Packers offense was. And you mentioned that's not a one-game issue. This has been going on for some time. So they have in their own right some things that they need to get square to. And not having Aaron Jones obviously isn't going to help them. But I give the edge to the Packers here. I do not have purple fever either.
Thank you for bringing up the Bears, because I just want to mention, as a Packers fan, the Bears are 15th in the NFC right now. That just makes me happy. A couple more quick hitters. We're not going to take too long on these ones, but I'll take one sentence from each of you on this. Drew, I'll go first. Arizona 8-2. Don't know if it's Kyler. Don't know if it's Colt McCoy at Seattle, who is the 14th team in the NFC. 3-6 right now. Seattle loses this, they're out of the playoff hunt, right?
I think Seattle's out of the playoff hunt now.
Ooh.
But yeah.
Yeah, they may be.
Dangles, Indy 5-5 at Buffalo 6-3. On paper, Buffalo is the better team, but record-wise, there's only really a game that separates these two. Any interest in this game?
A little bit. I mean, you know, the Colts have wins against bad teams. They haven't beaten a team with a winning record at the time of the game since December of 2020. And sure, Buffalo got right against the Jets, but of course they did. Like, they're you know, 6-3 this year via one of the easiest first half schedules out there. So question marks, and I could see this going either way. I still give the lean to the Bills with that defense. I think they can confuse Carson Wentz, but would it surprise me if we're sitting here looking at a Colts win by like 3 points? Not at all.
Thank you for the one sentence recap, Dangles. Drew, one more game for you. New Orleans, somehow the sixth seed at 5-4, and Trevor Siemian traveling to Philadelphia. I hate this Philadelphia team, but they're 4-6, and a win here puts them right there, right there. Are you believing in Sirianni and the Eagles? Could they steal one here and be in the playoff hunt?
I believe there won't be many points scored in this game, end statement.
Fair enough. Dangles, last one before we go to gravestones. The Ron Rivera Bowl. Washington football team has been terrible, but they beat the Buccaneers last week. And again, they're 3-6. Not a good record, but one win here puts them within one game of the team they're playing, the 7th seed, the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton returning to play against Ron Rivera, who cut him and didn't want him in Washington. What do you got for the 7th seed Carolina Panthers?
I got to lean towards the Panthers. I mean, you know, what more could Panthers fans want than Cam coming back, scoring a rushing touchdown, ripping his helmet off and screaming, "I'm back," at the crowd? That's the kind of juice you need going into a game like this. I like them against a Washington football team that is now without Chase Young, its best defensive player, for the rest of the season with, I think it was an MCL. Tear. So I think all the momentum should be on the Panthers' side going into this game.
Well, we'll know a lot more about these teams after these games on Sunday, but the bad part is each of us needs to kill one right here, right now. And the gravestone section of this show to close us out is coming up next.
West Coast Gamblers.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!
Very sad part of the show here. It's when we tell you that a team is dead. They're not making the playoffs this calendar year. We've been doing this for a while, folks, all season long. This is going to be the 10th team that we put into the ground. So far, the three of us have killed Jacksonville, Miami, and the Jets in the AFC. The NFC sees Detroit, the Giants, Chicago, and Philadelphia as dead teams. We also kill some teams individually. It goes off the record of how we did last week in the gambles. The key to that is if a host kills a team, the host following cannot kill the same team that week. Dangles is going first this week. He was the best gambler on the show last week. He's killed Houston and Denver individually. Myself, I'm going second. I've killed the football team and the 49ers individually. Drew is carrying the caboose once more. Houston and the football team are his individual kills. Dangles is going to start us off. It's time to go into the chapel, bow our heads, have some communion, and put to rest some of these fine football teams. This is a part of the year where it gets tough. We're killing some teams today that are 5-5, and we have to prognosticate that they will not finish 5-5. And that's it. It's time to go into the house. It's time for gravestones.
Tony Squares, Schaefer the Sharp. I'm going to start off gravestones this week by doing something that I can say both truly gives me no pleasure and at the same time also gives me a whole lot of pleasure. It gives me no pleasure to do this to a city that is riding high right now after a world championship in baseball. It gives me no pleasure to do this to a state that is the state of my birth. And yet, the Atlanta Falcons will not make the playoffs in 2021. Between a terrible defense that can't rush and can't defend the pass, a rushing offense that is dead last in the league in DVOA, a red zone defense that could not stop a mouse from scurrying into the end zone, this team is not built for the playoffs. The loss of Calvin Ridley is tough. We hope he gets his mentals right so that he can come back and be a force on the field and a fun wide receiver for all of us to play. But you can't do much with your only offensive weapon being Kyle Pitts. So ahead of what will be a loss to the Patriots this Thursday, hopefully the Patriots won't have to climb back from a 25-point deficit to do it. I will be killing the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, that's troubling, Dangles. That's troubling indeed, because I too was looking at those dirty birds and putting them in the ground. Alas, I'll have to go east. Well, I guess west, but in the AF, we'll make sense of it later.
I'm the geography guy here.
Good eulogies tonight.
Dangles, you talked about how tough their schedule was in an earlier part of this show. I've been heavy off of this team since they've lost so much in so little time. But the Henry Ruggs disappearance is too much to overcome for this Las Vegas Raiders team. And I believe for the first time in the history of this show, I'm going to be killing a team with a winning record in November. And that's the Las Vegas Raiders. Too much to overcome, too little time, a hard-fought victory, and honestly, Derek Carr deserves better. But this team ain't making the playoffs, and god damn it, I hope the Bengals win. Because if they don't, I clearly have made the wrong decision. Good night, Las Vegas.
Wow. Touching tributes from both of you. I am also going to look at a bird, a hawk of the sea, travel to the Pacific Northwest. Team's in disarray. Russell Wilson saying he's not going to have sex with his wife because he wants to test their love without that. DK Metcalf trying to have foursomes. Pete Carroll getting up there in age. Looks like he's ready to retire to a life of backgammon and shuffleboard. And finally, the daunted NFC West, the once bottom feeders. Oh, another bird, a red bird, a cardinal, now at the top of the perch, feeding on the hawks of the sea. And Russell Wilson, imaginary 2-minute drills, playing by himself in the backyard, will be playing by himself in January in his backyard, while his wife will apparently not be playing with his wiener. They are in the ground. Goodbye, Seahawks.
Arguably the worst stuff percentage in the league, Russell Wilson. And that is the end of Gravestones.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
All right, boys, we did it. Day late, dollar short, it's done. The show is over. It is time now to look forward. Coming out tomorrow will be our King of the Coast, our Thursday night leans, our Sunday night locks, but that is it for this week of the West Coast Gamblers. For Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crooks, and my name is Tony Cavallo, and as always, thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.